Hi everyone, for Pulmonology Consultant, I'm Michael Gruchowski. Our guest today is Jaspal Singh, a professor of medicine at Carolinas Medical Center and Atrium Health in Charlotte, North Carolina, where he practices and teaches in the Department of Medicine at Atrium Health Medical Group and the Levine Cancer Institute. He is board certified in pulmonary, critical care, and sleep medicine. Dr. Singh will be sharing his expertise about the evolving use of ultrasonography in critical care pulmonology. Welcome to the podcast, Dr. Singh.
Thank you, Michael, for having me.
So thoracic ultrasonography has been recognized as a useful diagnostic tool in emergency medicine, intensive care settings, and other settings, but arguably less so in respiratory medicine. Why is this, and how or why is it changing?
Well, it's changing because I think this is going to be an emerging trend in our field that it will become more common. However, what's been a little bit disappointing is the slowness at which it's been adopted, as you kind of allude to. I think perhaps there are several reasons why this might be the case. First of all, it's not part of the standard workflow or lexicon or the classic way most pulmonologists or respirologists think in terms of using ultrasound at the bedside for as many times as they possibly can. And so it's not natural for them to use it. It requires additional training. It requires additional attention and expertise. It also is something that is not well reimbursed, or maybe not at all reimbursed, depending on how you developed your practice. And so there's no tangible incentive from a patient revenue perspective to incorporate it. In fact, if you have expensive equipment and you have don't place to store the machines, then it may be more of a cost prohibitive issue than anything. So it's not been commonly adopted as much as we thought it would by this point. The other thing is many pulmonologists don't do their own procedures. And so if they don't do their own procedures, they may not necessarily have an incentive to assess the pleural spaces, for example. Now, I'm hoping this will change. First of all, ultrasound is becoming cheaper. It's becoming more ubiquitous, and it's becoming almost a standard of care for invasive pleural procedures. And it's also easy once you learn how to use it. In terms of it's non-invasive, there's really no risk to it. There's no contrast like you might give for a CT scan. There's only ultrasound, which is safe and no radiation risk, essentially. So it's becoming more commonly available, and many trainees are learning it, we'll expect a lot more use of thoracic ultrasound at the bedside moving forward.
Putting aside the issues of training, the extra training that's needed, the reimbursement, the capital outlay for equipment, and the fact that a lot of the physicians out there don't do their own procedures, chest radiography has been the go-to diagnostic modality for the most part. But in what circumstances might ultrasound be better as the first choice?
Well, first of all, I love ultrasound because, first of all, it's in my pocket. And by which I mean, if I'm assessing a patient, whether it be in the intensive care unit, whether it be in the hospital, whether it be in my clinic, to order an X-ray requires a delay. There's a natural delay, and the delay could be significant. And also the delay then becomes inconvenient for myself and the patient. For example, if I were to order a chest X-ray and I'm waiting on that chest X-ray to determine a pleural effusion, for example, then that may be, the X-ray may not happen for several hours. Then do I go back and assess the patient? Do I get alerted that the X-ray happened, or I wait till the next day or some other downstream aspect? Whereas ultrasound, I have the answer right there if I'm comfortable doing it. The other thing is patient positioning. So a chest X-ray, some patients have a hard time standing for a good chest X-ray or taking a good inspiratory breath. Whereas I have the ultrasound there, they might be at the bedside, they may be in a different position. I can positionally evaluate certain things. That's helpful. If I wanted to potentially triage that patient to a different level of acute care or chronic care, I may use the ultrasound at that point particularly. There are certain diseases that naturally make ultrasound very useful, such as pleural diseases, which I alluded to earlier, pleural effusions especially, but also things like congestive heart failure. And as you get more experience with ultrasound, you'll find that actually it's far more useful than waiting for an X-ray, which may have happened after you've treated the patient for the suspected clinical intervention. For example, in heart failure, I may give the patient a diuretic. If I give the diuretic and the X-ray happens hours later after I give the diuretic, how do I know how severe the heart failure was beforehand? These are things I'm thinking about ahead of time, is that ultrasound is so easy to use, ubiquitous now, that hopefully it becomes almost better in certain situations, better than a chest radiograph. lastly, I think as all of us have seen in the offices, most of us, a lot of pulmonologists around the country I talk to, they used to have an X-ray in their office, but because of cost of issues, accreditation issues, many of them have had to move their X-ray off-site, or the patient has had to slow their interruption. So they, what ends up happening is if you see a patient in the office and then you want a chest X-ray, now you've actually slowed your office flow down because they have patients go to an X-ray, then come back later. If you're comfortable with ultrasonography of the thorax, you might make, oftentimes I make those decisions right there and I don't need to wait for the X-ray and disrupt the flow of patient care.
Great. So we talked about the convenience, the instant gratification of getting results right at the bedside and positional advantages. It's easy, it's ubiquitous. Okay, these sound great. These are all the silver linings. Is there a cloud? Are there pitfalls that are associated with the use of a diagnostic ultrasound? And how can pulmonologists, other respiratory care clinicians avoid these pitfalls?
Yeah, that's a great question. So things we've thought about and sort of worked through are things like insufficient training from the start. I think many people think they can go to a course for a day and be good at it. It takes months to practice it. Because the images you get from a course may not reflect the pathology that you're going to see in real time. On top of that, you go to a course and they might have phenomenal large screens, whereas the one you buy might be this tiny screen that you can't seem to generate the views that you were getting at the course that you trained at. So it may be some of that. The other aspect is ongoing quality improvement. So, for example, you kind of need someone, just like we did with CT scans. When I have a question with a CT scan, I go to a radiologist. Well, who do I go to when I have a question on ultrasound? The image is there. Do I capture it? Do I go to a colleague? What if my colleague's not very good at ultrasound or not familiar with that technology? Then I need to have a sort of a core group of people to help me review images on a regular basis to make sure I'm doing things right. I think the quality improvement piece is lacking and the proper sort of ongoing training are quite an issue. And then if it's not reimbursed, then how do you, it's not reimbursed well, you have to do things like create a revenue stream or justify the expense. And if you don't justify the expense well, it's difficult. And that all brings us back to, I think, thinking back a little bit is understanding the equipment, defining your needs, understanding the value that you're bringing to the bedside. I think those are probably, if you plan ultrasound in your practice well, you can avoid a lot of the pitfalls. But if you don't plan how you're going to use it, what equipment you want, what needs you're filling, and what value you're bringing to the table, then this may not necessarily be, it can be quite an ordeal. And that oftentimes slows many programs from adoption.
Well, what's the clinical take-home message, though, for pulmonologists and respirologists in their daily practice?
Moving forward, the field is going to embrace ultrasound, and you might as well learn it now and get better at it with time. As to which equipment you need, how to get trained, who else should be trained in your practice, how to operationalize it, you might want to talk to others that have done this well and see how they're using it. But more and more, I tell people, just find some used or cheaper equipment if you're just going to explore the space and just start doing it. The more you do it, the more you get better at it, and the more you share your images with others and talk about it, invest in ongoing training, the more you'll be providing a real service to your patients, to your practice, and find this to be quite gratifying.
Well, great. Thanks for speaking with us today and sharing your expert perspective with our pulmonology consultant listeners, Dr. Singh.
Thank you so much for having me, Michael.